Someone just pointed out to me, we had this earlier conversation about having lost the fight against noise and the difficulties that people are facing. This lawyer points out that the police have no jurisdiction in many of these matters because they are not criminal and they tend to shun them and hope that good sense will prevail by the offending party. In many instances, that doesn't happen and people are therefore forced to suffer in silence. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hi, good morning. Ellis, happy
good
New
good
Year
morning.
To you and the Brass Tacks family.
Good morning.
Actually, it's interesting that I get on at this
good
time.
Good afternoon,
because I
rather.
Wanted to. Good afternoon. I actually wanted to follow up on the gentleman with the noise issue. And then you came in there with that piece of information about from the lawyer with respect to the police and not having any jurisdiction. My issue is that the Minister of Environment came out and he spoke about he's at his wits' ends with the landowners and not cleaning. But I want the Minister of Environment to take the noise issue as an urgent matter. What's happening in Barbados is that a lot of these neighborhood shops, a lot of neighborhood shops are turning into bars, right? You're asking people to work from home. How can you ask people to work from home when you have these shots and some neighbors, they're playing the music? And again, what the gentleman spoke about, the loud music in the car, and it's not just regular music. It is the music that you hear in FETs and on minivans. I think it is absolutely unfair to ask people to work from homes, and you have these neighborhood shops that are playing and blasting music all hours of the day. And then what the police tells you is that, again, just like what the gentleman would have said to you, it is really out of their jurisdiction. They can only warn them. When the police come and warn them and they leave, they go back doing the same thing. Is this really fair? Is this really fair to citizens of Barbados who are actually working from home? You cannot have any peace in your own home. They ask you, the police are even asking you to call environmental and saying that it's an environmental issue. When you call environment is saying, oh, well, there's not much that we can do. We asked the minister to take it up and it haven't been taken up as yet. And what do? You can't just throw your hands in the air. People are in their homes and cannot get any peace. And I'm asking the Minister of Environment to actually take this up. This is an urgent issue in Barbados at the moment. And it's not just shops with loud music. But my situation is the shops with loud music. And people are feeling that they can get away with doing anything because the police are just throwing their hands in the air.
How long have you been going through this?
For years. A couple of years now. But the situation is that you feel that you have to spend money out of your own pocket to have to deal with a matter. When you ask the representative to get involved, you don't even hear from them. And I won't call that person name for this area, but there's no representation from a representative up here. So what do you do? What do you do unless you spend money of your own to take that person to court? It is madness.
The court system takes forever.
And the court system takes forever, correctly.
I understand the concern. We've been talking about this for years, but I think the COVID situation makes it even more acute.
Yes.
Because as you said, you know, we are now being asked to work from home. It is the same issue that we're facing with the monkeys. We are being told that we need to produce more, we need to do more in our backyards and that sort of thing. But a problem that has been there for a long time now becomes even more urgent for correction because the environment has changed. COVID has changed that.
Yes.
And therefore, as you said, the government and in particular the Minister of the Environment needs to tell us what legislation can be put in place and what can be done to give the authorities greater teeth in trying to crack down on this kind of bad behavior. Because as far as I'm concerned, it is just that. These are people who, as far as they're concerned, they're satisfying their own need and they couldn't
exactly.
care less about their neighbors. So
yes.
Something has to be done to address it. Many times when people are playing the music that loud, there is no need to play it that loud to satisfy patrons. you know, they can lower it and they can still satisfy their patrons. So they would have to have a certain threshold, a certain number of decibels by which within which they could operate, and thereafter it would be considered to be loud and offensive to people outside of their immediate vicinity.
Yes, and one of the other things is that even when you ask the police to intervene, it is a case where if the shop or person don't have a license to play music, how can you say the person don't have a license to play music, but they're still playing music and it's out of your hands, you can't do anything about it. That part has me baffled because I don't understand why the police can't be a little bit more forceful with these persons. I just don't get it. And sometimes it happens from morning straight up to night. It is really unfair. I'm really asking the Minister of Environment to actually deal with this noise issue as a matter of urgency. Thank you, Mr. Ellis.
Thank you for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. Happy New Year to you, your listener.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Yes, this is James Fall here from the Barbados Agricultural Society.
Yeah.
I was hearing this morning the complaints in relation to the monkeys, and I really want to support those persons who would have called in to say, we have crossed the Rubicon, something needs to be done about it. And they are actually undermining the government's stated objective of increasing food production. And this is not something at this point in time now that we should take lightly. We have instances of persons who would have planted crops expecting to reap some economic benefit from those crops. And you cannot have a situation where you can see where the increases are coming from and nothing is being done. We need to get those monkey hunters back there, give them, I think, I'm very sorry with my friends from the animal rights persons, but at this stage we have to value, David, human life above everything else. And something is distress, and I think you should speak to some of them too directly, the distress that some of these people express in their voice. When they don't have any other economic opportunities open to them, and the one that they can actually do, they are actually being prevented from doing it because of those monkeys. The other point I wish to make too, David, when it comes to this, is the question of, we talk a lot globally, and we like to talk a lot in this country about the production of fruits. But we are not serious, because we cannot be serious about the production of fruits when the very thing that is hampering that production, that we are not doing anything about. Monkeys, for instance, you take a simple fruit as mangoes. You have some person in some neighborhoods that, yes, they, at a point in time, you could see where the mangoes are and they produce them. The point is, how much of them will they actually get to reap? And what level of confidence do you give to any future investment? People don't understand. A mango tree takes at least 2-3 years to bear, sometimes longer, before you actually see any production. Okay? And then after that, after you have taken that kind, and you've made that investment because you have to buy the tree, you have to nurture it, because contrary to the view that some of us hold, you just don't put a tree in the ground and it will grow on its own. You have to provide nutrients and you have to spend money on it. And after doing that, for officialdom to just turn a kind of a blind eye to the thing and say, well, you know, we have to bring in and the tourists will complain because of the fact that if we go and we do anything with the monkeys, somehow that will cause a problem with tourism. But give me a break. Even now at this point in time, the tourists aren't coming. So who matters now other than the livelihoods? And I think that we have reached the point, David, and I'm really appealing to the authorities on this one, that something has to be done about those monkeys. And we are getting a situation, too, that they are being emboldened. Because in some cases, where we have more women, for instance, getting into farming, women and children, those monkeys could be a real deterrent to them. And they are getting scared. Something has to be done.
How long have you been saying this, though? And what are the obstacles?
Well, we've been saying that for many years. The obstacles is that there seems to be some indifference, and I use the word indifference on the part of government to the issue. Okay, the same type of reaction that you get when, for instance, the tourist gets robbed on some street or the other, and you get the whole society wakes up because they recognize that somehow, or they feel that somehow the economy of Barbados is being undermined. We need to behave in the same way when it comes to the issue of the monkeys. Because at the end of the day, that family that you are preventing, that those monkeys are preventing from earning a livelihood, they go on welfare, and in some cases they don't get on welfare. How do they eat? So the same kind of sanctimonious way in which we behave, when the tourists get interfered with, let us, our government, demonstrate that the same spiritedness in terms of doing something about it. Okay? And the society needs to give support to it. Planting food in the gullies is not the answer. It is definitely not the answer. And let us not be hypocritical about it. All of us know it is not the answer, because all you end up doing is increasing the population. Because I have, for instance, a situation where right in the back of me right there, okay? We now have to do something about them, because you have now their nesting inside there. And you see, once they start to identify that kind of territorial space, they're a threat to people. Okay? And the thing is really that we need to do something. Government needs to stop talking and talk, and legislation is not going to solve this. It is really action is going to solve this. Let us empower the persons, those monkey hunters who are there. Okay? But I've spoken about the point about the bounty. We need to increase the bounty. $20 or $25 is not enough. We want people more. And even if we do it for a season, at least to reduce the population, let us do it. But at this stage, it is important that people are able to feed themselves. And we are just being hypocritical as a society when we continue to turn a blind eye to it. And not only that, use the excuse, and I use the term excuse, that, you know, we can't do anything because somebody up in England or somewhere who sometimes don't even care anything about us, okay, will object to it. We need to do something.
But is there a scope for even the BAS to open up discussions with the animal rights people in England? Because they need to have an appreciation of the magnitude of the problem that we face and the extent to which COVID makes a substantial difference.
But, sir, I will say this to you. We have contacts in England, and there's not complete unanimity on this whole question of animal rights in England. It is just we choose conveniently to pick out who is important, okay? And somehow we think the great...
But who is important in England?
Well, it seems that we are suggesting that the only people important in England are the animal rights people. But there are other people in England who are farmers, who actually control animals because of the threat that they can pose to their farms. There's another view. So we should let us recognize that I just use this as an excuse for inaction. I don't think I should have to go up to England, okay, to convince them that we need to do something for our own value, for our own selves.
Well, tell them we had the power and the strength to move Lord Nelson, and we could deal with the monkeys.
Precisely. So in the same
way that we are talking about our independence. You see, that's why I don't believe in a lot of this talk that you hear. How independent and sovereign we are, on the one hand. But on the other, a problem of this magnitude can continue and you can do nothing about it because of your fear of who? The same people you talk against in another breath.
Thank you very
it
much.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make
this
sense.
This is the kind of double talk that you get in countries, you know. But this one is too important. I really believe that given the fact that we know, we recognize that we have to feed ourselves on a scale that we haven't done in a very long time, that it is necessary to put things in place to make sure that people can actually produce. And this one is clear. This is blatant.
Of course it is. And the thing is really, David, you know, we are going to get disruptions in terms of our shipping lines with the situation that's happening right now. What are we going to say to Barbadians in terms of who cannot eat or who cannot give themselves the necessary level of sustenance to ensure that they could be healthy? It is important. And I really want to implore upon the authorities. Look, we first of all, increase the bounty. I think that will have an immediate benefit Okay, because of an increasing number of hunters, even if they do it on a temporary basis, let us increase the bounty, right? And pay the people on time. They're using the excuse that there's no incinerator. No, come on, an incinerator, I don't know, might cost about what, $20,000 or so. But is that something that we cannot do? Seriously,
Dimension to it. That there's no incinerator, and that's
because they're saying they have to burn the tails or something like that. But come on. That, to my mind, is not something that we cannot overcome within a very short time. Let us put the resources where it matters. It matters that people are able to feed themselves, okay? And as we said, increase food production at this point in time. We need to.
Okay. Thank you very much, James Paul.
Well, thank you very much for having me, sir.
Okay. All right. This person writes that there are a former Liat worker who is renting a home. They live with their son and fiance. The son is in private primary school, and she is behind in her rent. The bills, they are fighting to pay. They're also fighting to pay the school fees. I am beyond frustrated. My fiance isn't working. It's very hard. They go on to say that the BWU has been trying to deal with this, but they too have not been responding to calls, messages, and emails. It seems as though we are forgotten. It is by the grace of my landlord that I am not out on the streets. I have 7 years of service in Liat, and to be like this now, where I am struggling to survive, is unbelievable. My savings are exhausted. Work is hard to come by in the present economic climate. This is down to brass tacks.
Hi, good afternoon, Ms. Ellis.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm a former Liat worker, and I just wanted to highlight some of the issues that we are going through as past Liat workers. I used to work for the company for the last 15 years. You know what upsets me is when you hear the company use COVID as an excuse as to why we're in the current situation. But up to February of 2019, the shareholder governments, along with key players, including the union representatives, they had a meeting here in Barbados at the Hilton to discuss the current financial situation of Liat. So all COVID did is exacerbate the situation, but it isn't like this situation wasn't present before.
Understood. Tell us your situation, because they need to understand what people are actually going through. A very vague and general discussion is one thing, but let's get on to some specifics of how this thing has changed your life.
Okay, well, what I can speak about, and this is while we were actually on layoff period, part of the layoff condition was that the company would pay for our health insurance. However, people were complaining and saying that when they sent in claims, they weren't hearing anything from the insurance company. Persons even called in and asked, is it possible to be able to pay for their premiums on their own because they don't want to lose their health insurance? Then, surprisingly, 4 months afterwards, I guess after all the complaints, then Liat decided to send out a letter to all the employees, basically reminding us of the current financial situation. And unfortunately, because of that, they were unable to meet the payments for our health insurance. So a lot of us right now, we are unemployed because we were all, about 90% of us would have been made redundant, and we're without health insurance, not because of a fault of our own, but because the company lapsed on living up to the agreement. Then, with regards to crew and engineers, ours is a precarious situation because it is different to other Liat employees, where we do not pay NIS. We never used to pay for NIS in Barbados because we had to pay for, some of us had to pay medical benefits as well as pay for income tax in Antigua. So where does that leave those workers? Sorry, Social Security and medical benefits, not income tax. So where does that leave those workers, the crew and the engineers? people in Barbados will not have been paying NIS, which means the NIS severance fund cannot pay us. So we are under, we basically have to rely on Antigua to pay us whenever LIAT gets through with their plan right now. They're, hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Right, so right now it's harder for the crew and the engineers because even those others that may have been in Barbados, even if they can get their money from the NIS severance fund, the crew and the engineers don't have that option. We actually have to rely on LIAT to pay us. So that means we have to hope that LIAT is in success, is successful in their current situation. And as we can see, a lot of people aren't traveling because of COVID.
Have you all been discussing this, and what kind of solution do you believe can be arrived at, given all the stresses on all sides?
Well, although Antigua would have opted to go under administration instead of what the other governments would have suggested with regards to liquidation, I understand some of their hands may be tied, but as far as I'm concerned, they're still part of the shareholder government. No one has actually given up their shares. So instead of, you know, some person saying they don't shout across waters and others not saying anything, there needs to have some kind of discussion with all the shareholders involved to see how they can help us come out of this situation. Because like while we were on layoff period, some persons tried to see if they could get jobs. But there were some businesses that were not willing to actually invest in those individuals with regards to training because technically you were still employed by LIAT. So it was a situation where you would have had to resign, and that means that meant forfeiting your severance. But as we now see, we don't even know if we will even get our severance.
And so you're still in that situation of limbo because you're hoping that you get severance. So you can't move on to another job because you don't want to lose the opportunity of severance.
But either way, now we have been made redundant. So yes, we are entitled to it.
Right.
But right now, no one is really hiring. Like in my situation, I do have degrees. I do see myself as employable, but a lot of companies right now are laying off their own staff and making them redundant because they too, they too have had their problems. And right now, LIAT owes us not only severance, but they owe us vacation pay as well as for some individuals money. And then we are all, salaries. And we're also owed retroactive pay. Like, for example, the cabin crew, they're owed retroactive pay from 2011. And then you have the pilots, they're owed retroactive pay. You have engineers as well. So many people are owed so much money and even vacation pay from last year. And no one is talking about that. Everyone is talking about the severance. We have the administrator asking, what is it that we are willing to give up? But in this present climate, no one is willing to give up anything.
Yeah, understood. I'm really sorry to hear your situation and that of the several other people working there. Hopefully, your participation in today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks and your decision to make a call will just bring back to the fore the importance of the authorities coming together and working with you all to find a solution to this very serious problem. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We're going to the Starcom Network News next. Welcome to the continuation of today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis with you up until 2 o'clock. A couple of people have asked me why I didn't ask James Paul about the fact that the Democratic Labour Party administration that he belonged to had an opportunity to deal with this issue of the monkey problem and nothing has been done. My motivation is that while I acknowledge that, I think the COVID situation is different. This makes it all the more acute. And in these circumstances, whatever the difficulties were before, I think that changes the situation so materially that we really have to be, we have to assume a more aggressive posture to this issue of trying to deal with the monkey problem and the extent to which it is ruining people's opportunities and desire to become more involved in backyard farming in particular. So this person says to me that they got a small garden and the monkeys eat everything. He said, just with my little effort, they have so far destroyed the following: carrots, beets, melons, pawpaw, chives, eggplant, cassava, cucumber. And the writer says it is very discouraging.